Okay. Hello. Welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Michael Langley and Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru. And each week we'll go over different topics and challenges individuals have with their chronic knee pain. This is episode 10 Q&A. And as always, before we get started, we'll state a standard disclaimer. None of the information in this podcast is to be construed as medical advice. If you have any questions, please consult your licensed healthcare professional. This same information, though I have used to help myself as well as countless clients over the past 10 years or so, the advice is assuming you have gone to your doctor and have had your knee checked out, and they have determined nothing is broken or torn. So, that being said, we will get started with the questions for today. Bill is ready. Okay. Question number one. Mystery Knee, thanks for being willing to take this question. I twisted my left ankle and the next day could not put weight on my left knee without support of a cane. Then I could walk. Then it happened again. I recovered, walked for a month. Then again, very little pain, almost zero swelling. I just can't walk on it. It's got full range of motion, no popping or grinding. If I wear shoes that support my arches, I can walk okay, carefully for hundreds of steps, but just one step barefoot and my knee goes out again. The doctor I went to, became very highly recommended, seems to have no idea about what's going on. So I'm getting an MRI as soon as I can afford one. I've looked at dozens of videos online about knee problems and can find nothing that describes the situation. Bill, have you ever heard of anything like this? Thanks, Ken. And this is the left knee, Bill, so I know you're not very familiar with answering questions on left knees.
No, actually.
Well,
Ken, as far as what happens is when you twist your ankle or when you turn your ankle, you're talking about a tension pattern that goes up from the foot all the way up through the rest of the body. And it may manifest itself or it may end up in a certain part, like the knee. Another person can turn their ankle and they can have problems in their hip. Another person can turn their ankle and have problems in their upper back. It all depends on where the tension pattern sets in the body. So when Ken has this problem, or when he's running into these issues, what needs to be looked at is the entire tension pattern. We need to look at what's going on in the ankle, what's going on in the knee, what's going on in the hip. And if there is a problem, what usually happens is we have two aspects of our nervous system. That's the sympathetic, which is the fight, flight, or freeze. That's what causes us to tense up, to hold on to tension. And this holds on to a tension pattern to protect us from getting injured further. Then we have the parasympathetic, which is the rest and relax. And when the sympathetic nervous system is engaged, the parasympathetic is not, which means we're going to be on hyper alert all the time. So when Ken is experiencing the stuff in his knee, the stuff in his left leg, you're looking at that tension pattern that's going from the feet to the head and affecting the sympathetic nervous system or the fight, flight, or freeze response that the body has. So in order to address that, and you're only pointing at the knee as being the issue, you're limiting the scope. It's like you're looking at the knee through a microscope, and the knee is, you actually need to look at it through a telescope. So I address a lot of that in my virtual clinic. I talk about issues with the ankle, issues with the knee, issues with the hip, issues with the lower back, and how to address all of those different tension patterns by working with how you stand, by working with how you walk, and all of those types of things. So a lot of it is about relaxing that sympathetic part of your nervous system by creating comfort so the parasympathetic or the rest and relax response can be there and your body's able to heal itself. Is that, did I describe that okay, Michael?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Okay.
So basically Ken, also Ken, or I'm sure many others who have the same problem, they're wanting to go into a little more depth. They just go to the website, kneepainguru.com, sign up for the virtual, the free knee pain clinic, free knee pain report, and that'll get them rolling in the right direction mainly, correct?
Actually, they need to go to freekneepainreport.com and opt
okay.
in and get the free report, and then they'll be in the ability to get the ebook, which when they purchase the ebook right now for a limited time, they get the virtual clinic for 1 month for free, so you can check it out and see if it's helping and works for you.
Right. Okay. Yeah, but yeah, that made sense. Okay. We're going to move on to the next question, Bill. Okay, Bill, I saw a couple of your videos on YouTube. Found the information very insightful. I have runner's knee about for 2 years now. It all started after a 5K race. After cooling down, I suddenly had a sharp pain on my right knee. Therapy for about 3 months. It was okay, but I can't say I have recovered 100%, probably the reason why I quit therapy. Since then, I've still been running with pain. I often take 1 to 2 month breaks on my running, which honestly kills me because I love running, and I have a couple of questions. Not sure if you have addressed them on your videos because I haven't seen them all, but almost every morning I wake up with a slight pain on my knee. I touch my knee and I find it warm. It's warm to the touch. What does a warm knee symptom indicate? It's frustrating. I'm trying several things like taking glucosamine, using the foam roller, I'm doing leg exercises, and nothing really gets me close to full recovery. Is it possible I may require surgery? And if so, is surgery recommended in your treatment when applicable? Thanks, Moses.
Okay, Moses, here's the deal. The part of the reason, okay, let me back up just for a second. As long as nothing is broken or torn, if you've gone to your doctor and your doctor is indicating that everything is anatomically correct, then you're fine. Well, the knee is fine, and there's nothing anatomically wrong. So I would not suggest getting surgery if there is nothing broken or torn, because I believe last week we talked about the difference between knee pain and the fact of a knee injury does not necessarily mean or getting surgery does not necessarily mean you're going to get out of knee pain. And that there's a differentiation there. And what we're addressing is knee pain, and that usually is when the surgery has been done or there was something broken or torn, the surgery repaired it, or there was nothing that showed up broken or torn to begin with. So we're addressing the knee pain. And in this case, it sounds like there is just knee pain. The second piece is that when you feel the warmth to the touch, that's generally an indication of inflammation in the knee, that the body is sending the nutrients it needs to heal what's going on in your knee. Unfortunately, what therapy does not cover is that sympathetic nervous system response causing your body to tense up and hold on to a tension pattern to protect itself from getting injured further. And that's why you can continue to do the exercises and go to physical therapy, and that's why it didn't work, because all you were doing was reinforcing a dysfunctional tension pattern that continued to cause your body to have problems. So the idea is to relax that tension pattern and create the space in your knee so it isn't impinging on the nerves, sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, that, I mean,
yeah,
it's...
That was in, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. That was a lot, you know, thrown on Thursday. But, yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. I was just...
It's actually quite a simple process, the whole thing. And what I don't hear anyone talking about is how the nervous system responds to these tension patterns. The nervous system needs to be addressed and back off that fight, flight, or freeze response that the body does to protect itself from getting injured further. Functional for the injury, dysfunctional for you to go back into your life and operate without the knee pain.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question, Bill. Dear Bill, I've followed most of what you have said. Ice, rest, elevate, stretch, hydrate. And also done a lot of deep massage in hip and upper thighs, which is where I think the origin of the problem all began. I could not initially put my right heel down when walking. And now after 5 months of various and many sessions with physios, acupressure massages, etc., I'm now walking normally. But still get tight knee that sometimes hurts on the inner side. The cyst that was the cyst that has been aspirated, but the MRI shows a lateral tear. When I forget I have knee problem and relax into normal movement, I sometimes slightly twist it, and the pain is then quite severe. I have not gone back to tennis or golf in all these months. I'm relieved that there has been progress, but it is insufficient for long walks and playing sports. I understand that the tear will not heal itself, and am now more prepared to do keyhole surgery just to clean up the cartilage and mend the tear. Am I doing the right thing, June?
Yeah, June, absolutely. If there's something torn, and then you can actually thin slice a tear, meaning we can really analyze a tear. And generally, if the meniscus or a ligament or a tendon is partially torn, and partially torn can be like a quarter torn or, you know, just a couple of fibers have been torn that can cause pain, the body has the ability to heal that. So I believe it would be important, and of course, check with your doctor first to make sure that the surgery would be appropriate. However, if something is torn and you have meniscus that's torn in your knee that's contributing to your knee pain, then that's something that needs to be addressed. The other factors, though, is we're looking at what's going on in the nervous system, that fight, flight, or freeze response that's causing the tension in the hip and the lower back and things that June was talking about. She was getting the deep tissue massage and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So by getting that keyhole surgery or arthroscopic type of surgery where they'll clean that up, then it gives your body the ability to now function from a stable platform or move forward. It can really heal. Because if you're continually going across or raking across that tear in the meniscus, you're just kind of throwing yourself back in the same place you were before. So I definitely look into talk with your doctor about that surgery. And then, of course, you want to get and set up those conditions that make getting over knee pain inevitable. Get your water and your nutrition dialed in, and then look at the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And just a side note, when you start dealing with the when you start addressing those tension patterns, it's a whole lot easier to deal with those tension patterns when you're taking the body to a position of comfort than fighting with it with acupressure and massage and things like that. It can be good and it does have its place. However, when the body's holding on to tension like that, it's like you're pushing a rock up a hill.
Mm-hmm. Do you go into more detail in that on the ebook?
Not so much in the ebook.
Position of comfort, okay.
The ebook is mainly about strengthening the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint. I go into more detail in the passive stretching section of my website, where I show how to position the body comfortably and know when exactly the nervous system begins to shift and change, so you can go back and verify that a change has taken place and there's more space in the areas that are feeling uncomfortable.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks, June and Bill. Moving on, Bill, thank you for your mail. I have problem with water on my knee, but I have not had, any type problem. Doctor told me probably needed operation. I did not want any problem in my report. I have this problem. I have this problem last 1 year. So for about a year, this looks like red circle. Now you suggest to me, can it be reduced? I'm drinking more water, and I read your mail. Thanks, Karuna. That made sense.
Okay. Yeah. The inflammation, because the water on the knee is part inflammation, part, and we talked about this, I think it was last week, when you have a kink in the garden hose that causes the body to swell up. And that ties in with the tension in the nervous system. And when you relax that tension in the nervous system, you create the space for the body to drain itself. You could think of it like the drain in your sink with 3/4 of it covered. If you turn the faucet on full blast and it's filling up with water, the sink's trying to drain the water, however, 3/4 of it is covered up, you're going to have the water backing up in the sink. And the same thing happens in your knee, that when your body has the drain open, it can clean itself out. It can flush itself out easy. However, if you have an impingement in there because of tension that's held in the nervous system, it's very difficult for the body to clean itself out, to drain itself, and as a result, you get the swelling.
Mm-hmm.
From a doctor's perspective, a doctor's paradigm, they only have a couple of options. They can either give you prescription drugs to kill the pain. They can give you shots to numb the pain. Or they can do surgery. That's really their only approach. Or they can send you to physical therapy. And if the physical therapy is not working and not addressing those tension patterns that are causing the underlying issue, you're still going to have the same problem. And what most people find themselves in is a holding pattern until the knee degenerates enough or you have enough problems that surgery is justified. So by looking at the bigger picture, by zooming out and understanding that another reality exists outside of that paradigm, we can address so many issues before it gets to a critical stage that surgery is necessary. So, yes, I do believe that her knee can begin to drain itself. And that by looking at that bigger picture, and I talk about those 5 things in my virtual clinic, the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing, you can create the conditions that allows your body to heal itself, allows you to get out of knee pain. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bill, I listened to your video on the net. It was helpful. I'm having some discomfort from a somewhat chronic meniscus issue. Are there any therapies that work? By the way, I'm 50 and still very active in sports. Not as active as I was before the meniscus problem, but still active. Any help or advice you could give would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, Bob. I'm kind of partial to my therapy.
why is that?
Because it's helped me.
Because it works.
Because it works. And it's helped countless other clients that I've worked with over the past 10 or so years, that it all boils down to looking at those five components that I talk about, the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And by incorporating all of those in the proper amounts, it makes the conditions necessary for your body to get out of what it's dealing with. So, that's mm-hmm. kind of my perspective.
Yep.
If I thought someone else's approach was better, I'd be teaching that. However, what I found is after my knee surgery and, you know, reconstructive knee surgery, and they took out two pieces of meniscus, and the doctors did the best they could. They repaired the ligament in my knee. They took out the meniscus that was causing the issue, and I did the physical therapy. So from that paradigm, they did a wonderful job. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. However, the knee pain was still there. I had pain in the knee. I had pain in the rest of my body because of my body compensating for the knee. I had swelling in the knee, inflammation, pain, and there wasn't anybody to go to for answers. Prescription drugs and shots aren't an option for me because I get sick when I get those.
Right.
And I already had the surgery, so that wasn't an option either. I didn't re-injure it, so I was kind of on my own to figure out how I can help myself with that. And I started doing research and studying and reading books and figured it out by trying it on myself, using myself as a guinea pig. And I believe that's the best we can do, is just see what works for us. Because what's going to work for me is not necessarily going to work exactly the same way for you. However, that doesn't mean the principles, the underlying principles aren't going to work. We just
right.
need to vary the degree.
And they do. I know 2 weeks ago, and I just used part of what, listening to what you talk about, but I'd spent the night out camping, you know, and no tent on the ground is comfortable. I don't care what temperature you're in. But when I got up, my neck, the right side of my neck, was just highly uncomfortable. And it probably took me all of 10 to 15 minutes, but all I tried to do was get my spine and my neck in a point of comfort where it felt most comfortable. And all I did for 10 minutes was concentrate on my breathing and keeping my spine and neck where it didn't hurt. And I could tell a 75% difference in just 15 minutes just in doing those two things. That's not dealing with the knee, but the same principle applied to my neck. And
yep.
I was amazed. So
yeah,
little things like that.
When you rely on techniques, when you rely on a specific technique, it's not going to work for everyone in every situation. However, when you teach principles, when you teach underlying concepts, it's going to vary in each situation. However, you're empowered with the tools of the knowledge and understanding of what to do. So, you know, it's like, that's just kind of how life works.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But anyway, yeah, and thank you for that knowledge. But yes, I did use part of those principles, and I still try to do it regularly. If nothing else, just breaking down the breathing. That really seems to help me more than anything. But okay, next question. Hi, Bill. Can you give me your take on my wife's knees? She's 35, very active, but has developed this loud, crunchy sound when she squats down or bends at the knees. It's very loud and audible from a few feet away even. There's absolutely zero pain or swelling. She drinks plenty of water. She's very active with running and weight training. I've sent her to a massage therapist that specializes in deep tissue and trigger point therapy, figuring that something's tight, causing this unusual wear and tear. We realize that with females, the Q angle can cause problems at the knees, and I'm wondering if the weight resistance is accentuating this. She had a really bad torque through her body at one stage while squatting, but the therapist has managed to get rid of it now. But now this. The advice we are getting is that there is no pain, not to worry about it, but I feel that her body's telling her something and that this will lead to further problems down the track. I also struggle with the theory of air, quote, air in the joints. Any help is appreciated. Cheers, Grant.
Okay, Grant. And just so everybody knows, the Q angle that Grant's talking about with women is that because women are designed to have children, their hips are wider in proportion to their knees. So there's more of an angle coming from the hips to the knees. It's a sharper angle. Men's hips are more in line with their knees, so they tend not to have as many problems. However, what I'm thinking, what is coming to me as far as this goes, is that you said the person, the therapist, the really bad torque through her body at one stage. This has given me an indication that the body is like a string that's been wound up your entire life. And if you get rid of something someplace, it's going to show up somewhere else in a different way. So, meaning, just like I was talking about, if you, with one of the, the person who twisted their left ankle, that was Ken. When he twisted his ankle and then he has problems higher up in his body, when the body takes on tension, it compensates in different areas. And it's the same thing when it unwinds tension. So if Grant's wife went to a therapist that undid a bad torque in their body, it's going to throw that tension to another area. And, of course, most people, when they're getting work, they're getting the deep tissue, the myofascial release stuff, stuff that can be very painful, and as a result, the body resists the change. When something hurts or when something is difficult, the body has a tendency to resist what's happening to it. When you take the body to a position of comfort, when you mirror what the body is doing, the body will begin to unwind itself. It doesn't need to be forced to do so. And in doing that, what happens is the changes that take place go deeper and are much longer lasting. So it's my guess what's going on in her knees is that this bad torque that she had previously is now throwing themselves into what's going on in the knee, and that's causing the crunching. It's causing the tension pattern. So that's my take. That's kind of what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Hi, every day I have knee pain in both legs and sometimes swelling too. excuse me. But now I'm taking calcium tablet, which is ShellCal 500. I want to know that I can take it my whole life, or it affects me if I'll take it for my whole life. Thanks, Anne. So I think she's asking, is it okay to take the ShellCal 500, you know, forever? I believe that's the question she's asking.
Well, gosh. Here's the deal. If you're just taking calcium, calcium, of course, makes bones harder. Bones are made up of calcium and collagen, and calcium gives bones their strength. That's when you see a skeleton that's something that's been dead for a while. The bones are very brittle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also when you do, like you did that experiment in school where you put a chicken bone in a glass of apple cider vinegar. The apple cider vinegar eats away the calcium, so all you're left with is collagen, which is why you can almost tie that chicken bone in a knot. So when you when you're just taking calcium and you're not taking it in proportion to what it's supposed to be with magnesium, you can create more tension in your body. Your body will respond and react to all of that calcium that it's taking. And if it's not, so I don't know. I'm not so sure that's such a good idea. You may want to check with a nutritionist that'll get into the more details on what your body specifically needs. However, to just take a calcium supplement, I'm not so sure you may be doing yourself more harm than good with that.
I also noticed that calcium, would that help with the swelling that they were talking about as well? You know, because she said she has pain and swelling in both knees.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is it could make the joint stiff. What I've had lots of luck with is magnesium. On my website, thekneepainguru.com, there is a product that is called Natural Calm.
Mm-hmm.
That is a magnesium supplement. You can mix it with hot water or cold water, and it fizzes for a little while, and when it's done fizzing, you can drink it down, and it's just absolutely great in terms of relaxing your body, which allows your body to heal itself. So, that's what I use, and I've had a lot of success with that. However, it would really be important for Anne to check with a nutritionist or a doctor and bounce that off of them.
Okay. Thanks. Moving on. Hi, Bill. Had a question. From your experience, do you have info if the knee pain or swelling caused by arthrosis of the kneecap is covered by any of your researches or your method? I'm 41 years old, and I developed this after heavy sports activities. Note, for example, hockey players often have this. Thanks for any feedback on this issue, Ella.
What
is arthrosis of the knee to me?
Well, the arthrosis is just like arthritis.
Okay.
And, you know, similar to that, it's a degeneration of what's going on in the kneecap, and it's causing pain. And what ends up happening is that it's just a condition that continues to get worse over time. It's like that holding pattern that I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what the knee pain is, it goes down to those basic fundamental things that I was talking about, looking at water, looking at nutrition, making sure that's all dialed in correctly, making sure you're getting enough water to clean your body out of all the waste products, and then you're looking at nutrition that your body has what it needs in order to heal the damaged cells, the damaged tissue, whatever the case may be. And then look at exercise, stretching, and breathing in terms of strengthening what's loose and loosening what's tight. And then it creates the conditions where the body can heal itself. And, of course, hockey players have a lot of, you know, they're on their legs a lot. They're skating around a lot of times. They'll probably take hits from time to time to their legs. They have to hold tension in their legs for long periods of time while they're skating around the rink. So there's a tendency for all hockey players to hold tension in their body a certain way that physically manifests in the issues that they're seeing. So by beginning to relax those tension patterns when they're not on the ice, they can begin to create the space in their knees so their body has the ability to heal what's going on. So it still goes down to those basic principles.
Right, whether you're a hockey player or you like to walk or jog.
Exactly. And everybody's going to have a different pattern. Like
sure.
The guy who had the runner's knee,
mm-hmm.
They're going to have, let's see, is it, runner's knee, Moses. They're going to have a different tension pattern in their knees that are going to manifest differently. They're going to have the runner's knee. Then the hockey players have all of the issues in a different part of their knee because the way they're using their legs is different. And when the body is under a continued amount of stress for an extended period of time, meaning if you run a marathon, it's going to be different than if you're on the ice skating around for 2 or 3 hours. You're still going to be exerting for the same amount of time, yet the tension pattern is going to be different.
Right. Okay. Okay, dear Bill, I'd stopped doing the exercises in your book for the past few months, partly because my knee was too inflamed to do anything other than RICE, RICE recommended by the orthopedic. Now it is almost okay, but the upper corner on the outside of my knee still swells a little when I am active, even if I don't have much pain. This is the part which MRI scan showed as bone to bone, since the meniscus is worn out. I started to do the beginner's exercises recommended in your book today, and the same spot really got swollen again. And now didn't have much pain, but quite swollen and tight. So I'm not sure what to do. Also, we have an elliptic machine in our house, and I would like to know if it is okay to exercise on it, like a stationary bike that you recommend in your book. As far as I can see, I'm doing everything else like breathing, drinking, and eating as you suggest. I have no food allergies, and I don't eat processed food of any kind as I'm a strict vegetarian, have been all my life, and I do breathe as you recommend during these exercises. Any other recommendations? Best regards, Medina.
Okay.
Definitely keep breathing. That's a key when you're exercising.
Yeah, definitely keep breathing. What tends to happen if you don't breathe when you exercise is you fall over and you hurt something else besides your knee.
Exactly.
So there's that. The bone-on-bone piece, I covered that, I think, in one of the first or second podcast that we did.
Are those old podcasts, are they still up on the Knee Pain Guru site to be found?
They're up on the Knee Pain Guru site, as well as you can find them on iTunes as well.
Okay.
Let's see. I would check out my website, and there's a book I have on there called The Paleo Diet that I find to be phenomenal in terms of addressing swelling and inflammation. And there's a lot of studies that suggest that eating grains and dairy can actually cause inflammation in the body and cause problems that a lot of people have on a day-to-day basis. So I would definitely look into that. So when someone says they're a strict vegetarian, that it's like, ooh, I don't know if necessarily that is a good thing. It could be for them. However, it's something that they would want to consider to looking into that paleo diet and see what works for them, or a modification of that would work for them. Then the elliptical machine.
Can I hit the food real fast just for a second? Can I go back to the food thing? Do you think this has anything to do with it? My naturopathic doctor believes strongly in whatever certain blood type, and you may or may not have information on this, a blood type of a person has a lot to do with certain allergies and what foods work well with your system. You know, he's not a wheat person, so to speak, that, you know, his blood type. Are you familiar with anything along those lines?
Well, yes, I am, and I've read the blood type diet, and to agree that I believe there is some validity in that. What the Dr. Lauren Cordain, he's a PhD from Colorado State University, and they've done a ton of research showing how these foods break down in the gut and how it affects the gut lining of our intestines, of our stomach, of all of that, and how it reacts that way. So even if our blood is able to break this stuff down, if it's still causing issues and causing inflammation on a very fundamental level, I don't know if – I'm not sure if it matters what type of blood type we have that is going to make a difference. So.
Right. Yeah, okay. I wasn't trying to get you off track. I just want to know if you'd heard of that and, you know, kind of went along with what I'd heard. You were moving on to the elliptical.
The elliptical machine, I've never really been on an elliptical machine. I've never really, it's never really been a thing that I don't know, take it or leave it. I really didn't. I didn't walk into a gym and see an elliptical machine and say, gosh, I'd really like to do that. It just reminds me of, what is it, Tony Little with the gazelle machine, you know? And it's like, it wasn't my deal. Cycling was. I did enjoy cycling, and some people, when the weather's bad, they don't want to cycle outside. And my big thing is that a cycling machine is great, especially if you can get your foot attached to the pedal through toe clips or clipless pedals. And in doing so, what happens is you get the full range of motion of the knee. You're not just pushing down. You're getting it to move in a circle. And you can actually push up with one leg while you're pushing down with the other leg. And vice versa as you're going around, and it really works the knee joint well. So I'm a big fan of bicycles, no matter what kind of bicycle it is. What I'm thinking as far as the bone-on-bone and what to reestablish that space in between the bones, which is not required of the meniscus in order to do so, is the passive stretching exercises that I show in my virtual clinic. That really gets into those specific areas that are experiencing pain, swelling, discomfort, and how to take the pressure off of those areas, which in a sense unkinks the garden hose and allows the body to flush itself out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, okay, yes. And then once again, if someone signs up for the ebook right now, you can get the free virtual clinic for a month, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. We're going to move on to the last question for this Q&A. And it starts, already I've felt the difference just in trying out some of the stretches alone. I like your method of stretching, really works for all parts of the body. I was just wondering about the 11 minutes a day you referred to in your information. Since there is a lot of information in videos, is there a specific section I look for to get an outlined routine for each day, or should I just pick ones as needed? I felt a little overwhelmed with it all. Please advise Miss Mary.
Yeah, Mary. That can be overwhelming. I can see that. And it's one of those things that you just need the ones, just need to do the ones that you need for that day. And, of course, that's a very broad and all-encompassing answer. And that's what I've developed some coaching programs for, some one-on-one coaching programs as well as semi-private coaching programs where we go for what works for you specifically, what you need for that day and what you need to focus on for the next week or so. And we use those coaching programs as a way to get you from the shortest distance between two points, from where you are to where you want to be, which is out of knee pain, enjoying your life, not thinking about your needs. So being that I've already gone through it and I understand how to do it and I've walked numbers of people through it many times, I know exactly what exercises or what stretching you need to do as soon as I start dialoguing with you. It just comes to me and I know exactly what it is based on the pain and where you're feeling it. So that's something Mary or anyone else that's listening on the call who's interested, you can send me an email at bill@thekneepainguru.com and we can set you up with one of those coaching programs.
Sure. And this is my opinion. You can shoot it down, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of the interviews and case studies you've done with the individuals from the CrossFit program, weekly, and then tracking their progress, it might help Mary or someone else who's interested just to see, hey, this is what's going on, and we were able to finally narrow it down to this was the problem and this is what's causing this. And I think those videos are usually just a couple minutes long, if that, but that might give Mary or someone else just an idea of, the progress that can be made in such a short period of time. Hearing it from customers themselves or clients themselves.
Absolutely. And all of the information is really on the Knee Pain Guru site. Go to thekneepainguru.com. And there are tons of posts and articles and audios and videos and things like that of people that I've worked with, articles that I've written and stuff like that that really covers just about everything that I know in terms of knee pain. And as things come up and present themselves, then I post those on there. I'm continually working with people and I find different situations or different conditions that it's like, oh, well, this is unique. This is interesting. Yet right. It's addressed by those same principles,
That's what I was going to say. That's what I find amazing. These CrossFit people work out hardcore very regularly. They're very well built, just as someone could be fit. And they're someone maybe having a problem with a shoulder or an ankle or my lower back from squatting. It's the same principles that's being applied to the knee. Once you track it down and pinpoint, what's causing the problem, it's the exact same thing that's giving them the relief that now they're back to normal and can continue pumping iron and working out and move forward without the discomfort that they've had. So,
right. And what ends up happening is that tension is throughout the entire body. In order for one part to hurt, the rest of the body has to compensate for that. In order for a knee to hurt, the rest of your body has to hold tension a certain way. In order for the other knee to hurt, the rest of your body has to hold tension a certain way. So by addressing the tension in the knees, you're addressing tension in the rest of the body as well.
Right. Okay. Well, Bill, that's all the questions for this week's Q&A.
Cool.
Answered them excellently. I know I learned something. And as always, thank you. Thank everyone listening. And keep sending in the questions. And I'm sure Bill can keep answering or answering them or pointing us in the right direction.
Yeah. So remember, for anybody who doesn't know what to do at this point, if you haven't already gotten my free report, go to freekneepainreport.com, get the report, and then get my book. And that's really going to set you up with to move you in that direction of what you need to do to get over what's going on with your knees. And
it's the foundation that you need, really, I mean, to get it going.
Right. So okay. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see everybody next week.
Yeah, everybody have a great week. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.